This is Bill Smith, our speaker today, and he has been a congregant at WOOF for 3 years, and his topic for us today is Building a New Way.
Okay, same guy. Building a new way. We have all been on a journey. Just by being here shows me we are all on a journey of life, through life, looking for a different way to do life. Building a new way was not a plan I had for the last 20 years. I only knew that the previous 40 years didn't go my way. I discovered later that even though I was on a journey trying to build a new way, life was not going to go my way and never would. Today I have learned to accept that and live with what I'm given. Life is so much easier now. Adversity or opportunity, yin and yang. It all depends on how I choose to approach the challenges of life. It's my responsibility. Boy, do I hate that. I had to be able to convince myself that the pain of change and held promise. Some of the attitudes and beliefs I have today are different from yesterday. Maybe I'm fortunate to be able to make that comparison. It's sure confusing. Aren't we supposed to have learned how to do life from our parents, teachers, friends, school books, the Bible? The hardest lesson in life came when I began to resist what I had been taught by my mom and dad and the society I was raised in. Having been born and brought up with a southern heritage in a government enclave, the Canal Zone, Republic of Panama, put the two together and you have the most protectionist, self-serving, racist, culturist kind of society I can use as an example. I carried this kind of us and them attitude with me for years. Then I began to learn slowly, painfully, that I had been on the bottom of the heap. Too many times the truth was buried under silence, obfuscation, and half-truths. The American Indian calls this speaking out of both sides of your mouth. There is too much information today that explains the differences in what I was taught and continue to be taught and what has actually happened. Everything from the food we eat, the medications, and many times the methods used by the allopathic profession, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the history we are taught in school. Do no harm went away with all our corporate moneymakers a long time ago. Don't misunderstand me to be saying all or none when I speak to food, medicine, doctor's diagnosis and prescriptions, and all the agencies involved in water and air. It's just that I want to make informed decisions as best I can for me before I put myself completely in the hands of Monsanto, the AMA, the government, and especially the Pentagon. I would not be here today if not for MRIs and brain surgery. That is the medical part, but it was the insight of a naturopath that requested my first MRI, and then the medical profession provided the surgery. Please use both. The next hard lesson came when I began to not believe what my government was telling me and had told me in the past. I saw too many die believing the lie that our poor, insecure, egomaniac president told the American people in 1964. The Gulf of Tonkin was the name of that lie. Then there were many other lies in the next 10 years. Real history, not the history taught in school, shows that, quote, any American history is bathed in genocide. I had heard all my young life, the first 45 years anyway, that people never change. I'm glad that was a lie, but I had to learn the hard way. My ego, beliefs, and emotions are always getting in the way. There is one method that really works for me, the 2x4 between the eyes. I have the opportunity today to make changes. It's slow and many times painful. Buddhism teaches that ego can be smashed and emotions and beliefs can be accepted and changed. Slowly. How and when I do it is up to me. It's been very fortunate for me to have reached a path of being instead of doing. Recovery from alcohol addiction gave me the opportunity to make those choices. In AA meetings, I have met Wall Street bankers, policemen, bikers, dope addicts, murderers, thieves, Indian Mexicans, Asians, and many Anglo-Americans. What they do and what they did mean nothing to me. What they say carries the hope, the power, the promise. AA is not about how to stop drinking. That is an oxymoron. AA is about how to do life without alcohol. In the years I have been in AA working with other alcoholics and drug addicts, never once has anyone tried to tell someone else how to stop drinking and using. For decades, I yearned for respect, recognition, and acceptance, only to discover much later that I had to learn humility first. The rest would come later. From humility came serenity, sometimes. Many times the results are peace, sometimes. Tolerance, sometimes. Acceptance, sometimes. I don't know why that word sometimes keeps creeping in there. However, any changes have to happen with me first, then they will begin to happen with all that goes on around me. The changes are a lifelong process. At whatever age anyone chooses to start, it is a journey for the rest of life. Even the historical figures will tell us that. We don't know what we don't know. We'll continue to learn if we are willing. It's the little things that matter in life, what we do for each other, what I can do for you, with no expectations that you can do something for me in return. Sometimes. When I got home from being discharged from the Army, I began to see what the civilian world thought of, or didn't think of, a veteran. I won't go into my experience with the civilian world. I get too carried away. I attempted several times over the years to focus on some kind of academic degree, but sitting in a classroom where everyone seemed different from me told me that I would rather spend my free time sitting in a bar. I could tolerate the loud and foul language and the boisterous BS. This I was used to. Were they different, or was I different? Don't answer that. I won't believe you anyway. Many veterans went to live on the mountaintops and under the bridges. We have lots of those here. Many others committed suicide. While trying to find an academic degree that made sense to me, I pumped gas, wore a Pinkerton security uniform while I worked as many graveyard shifts as I could, not understanding that I was more comfortable at 2 a.m., dark, quiet, and alone, where I had a better chance of seeing and hearing unexpected events than I would at 2 p.m., when everything was noisy and busy and full of people that I didn't like anyway. Boy, I could get a resentment about someone just by looking at them. Chaos, confusion, anger, and despair. I stayed there for many years. Life is a process. I took a lot of roads, some with painful results. Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. I took a lot of forks, having no plan, not knowing where any chosen road would take me, willing to do whatever was necessary along the way, never understanding that I was the problem, lost, confused, and bewildered, believing that this was how life was supposed to be. Then I went to work at a potato processing plant in Hermiston, Oregon. Lots of McDonald's French fries, Latino employees, and potato bugs. This was my first experience being up close to Latinos who outnumbered us gringos. They are people, just like us. At times when we had to work on the roof of the plant during the winter, the wind blew, the snow flew, and so would we if we hadn't tied ourselves off to whatever was stationary. More excitement. I found out years later after listening to professional help and pursuing a degree in psychology that I needed these kinds of activities to feel alive, feel worthy, and feel like I belong. Lab tests show a level of cortisol that is off the charts. Today I need Buddhism, meditation, AA, and a higher power to practice living with the physical reactions caused by the change in my chemistry. For years I justified having been a soldier for peace and democracy. For the same reason I justified my racism against blacks who were rebelling against the war, I was involved with race riots during that time, and again I was on the bottom of the heap. Did the Vietnamese and black people have something to teach me? Not on your life, almost on mine, however. And what I was learning was humility, something I would use over and over in years to come as I built a new way with security, serenity rather. My journey from white entitlement began to fall apart in Vietnam, only I didn't know it until years later. The potato plant in Hermiston was another learning experience about people. Being intrigued by alternative history, the kind we aren't taught in school, pushed me to attend meetings for multiracial interaction. The only way I have been able to discover how the other thinks is and feels is to join them. My favorite group was the Friday Night Dialogue. They meet once a month, and my standard introduction was, I am a white racist. I'm here to learn from you, not to pretend that I'm one of you, but to do what I can to help. I will stand up for you because I am sick and tired of this us against them rhetoric. That's a lot of lifelong brainwashing BS, spoken and unspoken. I went to hear the author of The Bent Twig at Lake Oswego High School. Imagine that, an Anglo woman writing about the Japanese incarceration during World War II. That's the first time I heard the phrase, they wore their race on their face. While Japanese parents, sisters, and children were being imprisoned and their property, businesses, and homes were being stolen by the white entitled of our society, their sons belonging to the 442nd Regiment, fighting the Germans, were making their mark as the most decorated unit of World War II. Yeah, decorated as the Purple Heart Battalion. Japanese incarceration was just one of the travesties of American history in an effort of the privileged white to stay on top of the heap. Do you know what a racist looks like? Look to your left. And look to your right. Now look up here. It doesn't matter what culture we are or what color we are. If you wish to begin some introspection about because you don't think you come from a racist society, read the Oregon History of Social Policy during and after the Civil War and how some of the racial rules were not removed from the books until the 1950s. Learning of these issues is part of my journey to building a new way. We can begin the journey of humility and start coming together, but we have to begin before we can understand. This is the paradox of my journey of life while trying to build a new way. I began to learn the difference between human doing and human being. Western culture teaches me to climb the social ladder, keep my nose to the grindstone, and pull myself up by the bootstraps. I can do it all by myself. For those who believe that, I have news for you. Like you, like me, you've been brainwashed. I have never achieved anything by myself. I've always had help along the way. I don't exist in a vacuum. Removing charred bodies from house fires and burnt cars, especially children, performing CPR on already dead bodies in hopes that someday it might work, pulling bodies from the Clackamas River, especially, again, children. I finally burned out. While pursuing my degree in psychology, I realized early on that I couldn't handle any more human misery up close. So I changed the title of my master's degree to Emotions, a Relationship of Cognition and Neurochemistry and How They Impact Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. This was self-directed studies, and except for a few trips to Santa Barbara and Seattle, I could continue to work on myself at the same time. With the guidance from my mentor, Casa Columbus, and as a result of this academic search, I learned even more about myself to be used to help others along the way. But first I had to work at being, not doing. Along the way, I listened to different theologies, from Protestant to Catholic to Eastern religion. I finally settled on Woof. Here's where I belong. After all, where can I go to a Buddhist group and a non-denominational fellowship? Then there is also the choice of the Spirit of Life, the Humanist Group, and AA, all in the same place. There is no theology, only mine. I say this very thing in AA meetings. Whatever my goddess is, she is too big, too powerful, and too all-present to put in a box. I try to live a spiritual life. Try is the only way I know how to define, building a new way. I keep falling down, but trying and building has taught me how to get back up and go again. And following two quotes from Dr. Keith, love, gratitude, and forgiveness of yourself and others is the key to healing, the key to being the person, spouse, parent, and friend you're meant to be. You can choose to change your life. You can choose to let go of the past and embrace your future. You do not have to live in a cycle of sadness, emotional pain, and regret. End of quotes. I try to make decisions today based on what I can do that will help others. My needs are all met all the time. I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. Therefore, how could I have any wants? I would just have to give them away. I wonder why the powers that be decided to let me come up here in front of you today. I really hope that something that you heard today will help. If not, well, there's coffee and conversation downstairs. Thank you.